AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Does a robot know you like a neighbor?
Insurance Corporation will fulfill request to cover anyone, anything, anytime, anywhere, with most standard algorithm. In the order it was received, please hold.
Robots don't know you. We do. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, getting the insurance coverage you need always starts with a conversation. Find a Farm Bureau agent at fbfs.com/protect. It's your future. Let's protect it.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Rick.
Rick, yeah. are you
feeling? I've been feeling...
terrible.
Yeah. I mean, in one of the most glorious fucking nights.
Yeah.
You wake up and you just like, I'm just on. fucking hell.
Do you want a glass of wine?
Nah, I've got driving.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Yeah, I'll have one.
All right.
Mate, what a night.
Mate,
well, have you ever found anything more difficult in your life? I've gone through some tough times, like most of us have. I've lost people.
Yeah.
No, I'd rather lose someone really close to me than sit through 90 minutes of that again.
It was. There is not one part of it where, I mean, there were bits where I found joy.
Oh yeah. Three bits.
Yeah. And,
well, four.
But like. From when we were 4-2 down,
yeah.
and then 4-3, even though that glimmer of like got one back, that like I just knew City was still going to come back.
Yeah.
And we you know, having to keep them at bay and knowing that, like, the players they've got, and they were cutting us open
over and over again,
just waiting for that hammer blow to come.
And then it came.
And then it came. And then it went.
Yeah. I was talking to someone on the phone today, and I was like, I've never experienced such a low and such a high.
Yeah.
In, like, it was that was a microcosm of what's great about football. You pay in, you hurt so much. You go through so much pain for that one moment of euphoria.
Yeah.
And we got it in 2 minutes.
I still can't get, like, I'm still trying to process the game. And like this morning when I woke up and I was going through my phone and scrolling through Twitter and all the videos that are going about and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then remembering the night, the social and stuff like that, and just remembering different parts, and it's just so much to take in. And like going through, like when the game kicked off, right, I had this weird little thing where in my mind, if we don't concede within the first 15 minutes and in the first half and the same again in the second half, I think Tottenham will be all right, and we can get ourselves out of it. So I was sitting there and I was just like, right, lads, we know that they're going to come at us. We know we're going to have to batten down the hatches, sit in the trenches and fucking fight it out. And I know that 3 minutes gone to Sterling, back of the net. And I was just like, right, for fuck's sake, how can, it was just don't do that. And we did it.
I just went, as soon as that ball hit the net from Sterling, even when he cut in, you knew he was like, oh, fuck. And you started processing it before he even hit the fucking back of the net.
Yeah.
But my first thought when that happened was, all that hard work.
Yeah.
All that hard work gone in 3 minutes. Gone in 3 minutes. And you know Spurs, well, we know what Spurs used to be.
Yeah.
And then we break away 2 minutes later and Son scores. And we mentioned the social. The social was attended. There's like easily 450 people in there. It would never been as rammed as that has. When Son scored his first, the place went absolutely crazy. Because in your head there, you're like, well, hang on a minute. They've got to score three.
Yeah.
Is that right?
They've
got to get...
Let's not do maths at the moment.
Yeah, because it's been a long day, isn't it? We're still tired. But you think, in most ties, that's tough for City to come back.
Yeah.
Then Son goes up again. And that goal was superb.
That was an absolutely amazing goal.
Curls it in. 2-1 up. It was literally 2 minutes later.
It's quick succession.
The place went... I was worried.
Yeah.
I was thinking people were going to slip over and break their legs.
I thought I was going to slip over and break my head. And then, I just remember, like, obviously the goal was a fucking stonker of a goal. And then I just knew that... You know, going 2-1 up, like being 1-0 down within 3 minutes, then 2-1 up so early, and such a great goal. And then the atmosphere was absolutely amazing at the social, and everyone was just going fucking mad. And everyone's like hugging, congratulating everyone.
We've done it.
Yeah, beers all over everyone and stuff. At that point, that's score
four, I think. Yeah, that's score four.
And then as soon as like that quieted down, City scored again.
Yeah,
and it's like 2-2 within fucking
12 minutes.
I think how like fucking seriously, like both teams, like
shambles.
Yeah, it was, and I knew it was going to be like at breakneck speed. I knew there was going to be goals, and I knew that we could score up there, as you know, we score anywhere. But I just hadn't quite prepared myself for that. And then when they went 3-2 up,
then you realise.
Yeah, and then I kind of like that, it was in the back of my mind, like, if they score again, then we're fucked here.
Yeah.
And then
that was before half time.
Yeah,
there was five goals in that first half.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was you thought it was done and dusted. Yeah. We've had our joy. They've given us that.
Yeah.
Just let's not get pumped.
Yeah,
let's not get embarrassed. Because there was so much time left. And they'd cut us open at will, certainly in that first half. We were a bit better defensively in the second half. But you just thought, how many are they going to score?
And then with their fourth goal, an Aguero, brought the ball down, and like at first I was like he's beating Hugo at the near post, and I was just like, I was a bit disappointed by that. Then watching it back, like he fucking rifles it. There is no, like the speed that ball is going, like you ain't saving that. You ain't saving that.
Can you as it started to settle in now?
Yeah,
that Spurs are in the semi-final of the Champions League.
It's a weird feeling, because I mean, I've said it on the pod before, like when I was growing up and like supporting Spurs, and like my kind of my memories of going regularly, it's like, you know, the 90s, we were shit, and all I ever wanted to do was see Tottenham in Europe,
yeah.
And then we qualify and we play who is it, Kaiserslautern in the first round, yeah, and get fucking banged out. wait all that time and then get banged out by Kaiserslautern, and then we started to find ourselves in the UEFA Cup quite regularly, and that's like in that time period when we used to fly away to a lot of the European games. And that's all I ever wanted to do, is like watch Tottenham away in Europe, because all these tales that my dad tells me and stuff, and like as part of our history of our club and stuff like that, and you know, a part of why we support them, and all these black and white photos and all these other all stuff the that you shit. See, all the good shit. And I wanted some of that, and I never, at that time, looking back, I never thought I would see Tottenham in the European Cup. Like, the European Cup was the
pinnacle.
Like, yeah,
it's what you heard about, like the Bill Nick days.
Yeah, it was the stuff
that we did back in the day when we were the glory team. And part of the reason why Spurs are such a massive club now is because of those 60s and 70s.
Yeah,
and that one victory in 84 as well, but it was before our time.
Yeah,
so it was almost like we used to be great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now we are who we are, and that's it's forever going to be that way.
And it's such a big trophy, and it's just like I've never thought realistically, like growing up supporting Spurs, that I've never thought we've been in a position where we're challenging for the title. Or we'd realistically win the European Cup. It's just not going to happen.
Mm.
And we've come close to winning the title. And I don't think I ever thought we would, like in my heart of hearts, that we were gonna take any of those titles. And even though we got close, I just felt that it was a little bit too far.
It's unfamiliar to us because we've never had it.
Exactly. And then like European Cup and under Harry, and then. Getting quite far, I think it was like the quarterfinals last time, and then this time, getting out of that group with the results that we had, how the fuck we did that.
We had 1 point after three games.
So there was that. then we drew Dortmund, and everyone was like, they were like bossing the Bundesliga at that point.
They were top,
and everyone's talking about how great this Dortmund team are and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they got like dished up three wallops at Wembley, and then we were going over to Dortmund, and it's a point like, you know, they're gonna throw everything at Tottenham, how the fuck are we gonna deal with that, you know? And Dortmund's famous atmosphere, and we held them, and then we got one fucking chance, and Harry Kane buried it, and we won 1-0 in Dortmund. I mean, that is in itself like fucking amazing. And then obviously the draw comes along, we get City, and the way City are playing, and now everyone's talking
just
about
on
them.
That thing, like on the City draw, it's like it was the last team I wanted to come out of the hat. I like Barcelona, I could deal with,
yeah,
because they're a great side, they're a European side, so it would be like a European Cup,
yeah.
But with Man City, it's like we know how good they are,
we
know that we're not going to beat them over two legs. There's no world. Where Spurs have to play the best team in the league, them or Liverpool, it's like not much between, over two legs, and we win this. There's no chance.
It's and then we when we beat City, I mean, I was confident that we could beat City at our ground, and like thankfully that it kind of fell to. Being at the new White Hart Lane, and it was kind of like the christening of the kind of Park Lane end, the giant stand and the flags, and that we could do this, and we won, and we got a clean sheet, and that was That's fantastic. But then going up to City and knowing what they're capable of and how they've just like absolutely rinsed teams, it was going to be a tall order. And then for the game to start the way it did with those like, four early goals and not knowing, like, oh man, I still can't. I'm still trying to process what happened, and I just
when we played Dortmund away,
I've spoken
on the pod, and you were there as well. You saw how bad I was.
Yeah,
I was in bits during that game. The first half of that game, I've never been as nervous. Only when we play Arsenal, I've never been as nervous in my life. Yeah. I was terrible. Yeah. I don't know what, you know. Some, it just overcomes. During this, as hard as it was, I had a different feeling.
Yeah,
it was like. It wasn't because at Dortmund I believed that we could get through that tie.
Yeah.
I believed that we had enough in us to survive any onslaught, and having that belief stripped from me was an unbearable thought. Because it's like, I believe in this side.
Yeah, yeah.
Please don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
I was finally believing you. Please don't fuck it up. At this point, I thought honestly, when we drew City, I thought it was beyond us. I thought it was this wasn't a tie that we could get through. But I was like. Just through it, I was just like, as hard as it was and as nervous as I was, when we were 4-2 down, I felt like we were going to get one. I really did. I just felt like something was going to fall our way. And when Llorente scored, as mental as I was, it was like, it wasn't relief. It was like, it was almost like gratification.
Yeah.
It's like, I can believe in this.
Yeah.
Because perhaps I'm not going to be destroyed again. And then obviously when Sterling scored in the last minute, I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
I mean, when we're 4-2 down, I still believe we had a goal or a opportunity in us.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, we could get that goal and that'll be fine. But the tie is not going to rest on that third goal by Tottenham because it's going to be dependent on how many more they get.
Yeah.
And then when it went 4-3, and I was like, fucking hell, man, like, we're still in this. We are still in this.
Absolutely.
And then just... every kick of the ball, every head of the ball.
Willing, he was there, wasn't he?
Yeah, and just living it. And then as it got into 90 minutes, and I think it was it 5 minutes that went up at extra time?
Yeah,
And then it was kind of like, you're still just waiting for that hammer blow.
Yeah, and there it was.
And there it was. And at that point, because I was so... because after 20 minutes, I was at the front.
At
the social. I was at the front of the big screen. And after 20 minutes, I started getting a bit worried because I was having these really bad heart palpitations. And I thought I was going to have a heart attack or something like that. Like, I was like really just like, I'm going to have to just like take myself away from here and just like kind of like watch it from afar or something.
Yeah.
So I nipped out the back and then went right to the back and went to the smoking part. And I was watching it on the screen there, kind of like a milling about with a few other people and just trying to get myself out of it. And not so intense in there because I just couldn't bear it.
So when I'm watching it, like every most socials, I stay at the back. Yeah. Like, and on this game, I watched all of it in the door of the pub.
Yeah.
So I stood right at the back, as far away. So I can't get in the middle of it. It's too tense. You hear everything around you, and you're kind of absorbing all of that nervous energy. I need to stay away, even if the view was shit. I couldn't I was looking through heads and stuff at times. And when Sterling scored that goal, I was at the back and I just wheeled away when it went in, and I just sunk to my knee. I think it was kneeling on the floor, but I was quite squatting, just with my head in my hands, going, I can't believe this has happened again.
Yeah,
like I know the pain; it's familiar to me. You know it. We all know it.
Yeah.
But it's horrible, and it never gets any easier. And I thought, it's happened again.
Yeah,
like we don't deserve this because City were battering us. Like, they were so good. They're such a good team. But I was like, you're so close. Why? Why has this happened again?
And I was gone.
What? So there was a girl to my left outside, and she was looking at the screen, and I turned away. I was like, I was ready to walk out and leave every bastard there. I just get out, just get the hell out of there. Anyway, I didn't. And I looked across, and this girl was going, "It's offside! It was offside!" And I was listening to her, and I was like, I didn't even see it. I just saw the ball hit the net. And then I looked up at the screen and just see the referee with a finger in his ear. And people kept going, "It's VAR! It's VAR, fucking lads, where's VAR? And when the referee put his hand to his ear, the girl was celebrating already because she knew that it was offside. She knew. And when she started celebrating, I was like, oh my God. Because I knew exactly what it meant. If that was chalked off, we were through. And it was done. And the whole Champions League campaign was like defined on that moment. Was it going to be given? Wasn't it going to be given? I didn't know. It was like an out-of-body experience. I was kind of floating above it, going, oh my God, this is too much.
Who is this girl?
I don't know. Do you know what? In my head, there may have not been a girl. I might have imagined her. Because I'm thinking back, maybe there weren't anyone there, and it was just some sort of weird out-of-body psychedelic experience, like a throwback to eating loads of mushrooms once. But there was someone there, and I'm pretty sure it was a girl going, that was offside. And then, like I said, when the finger went up to the ear, she was, yeah, because she knew. Anyway, we ran back inside, and people going, no, that's VAR. People had streamed out the pub. They started coming back. We go, no, don't go, VAR. Coming back, and then it came up on the screen, no goal. Oh my God! I've taken all kinds of drugs, right? And I'm continuing on my adventures in narcotics. I don't think I'll ever stop, right? And I found some great experiences. Honestly, if you've ever been curious about drugs and what they feel like, that reversal, that decision, was better than anything I've ever taken. It made me feel better. Yes, 100%. The euphoria was like nothing I've ever experienced. It was over. Yeah. Once it happened, it was done. We got it. And then suddenly it's like, shit. Like I didn't know how to process. Just jumping up. Some geezer just held me up and lifted me up in the air and just had my arms left. And like, yeah.
I remember, like, so I was at the back in the smoking bit, and when that goal went in, the kind of like double doors of this
pub opened.
You were a little bit further ahead of me, but I didn't want to talk to anyone, and I didn't want to like have any discussions, and I didn't want anything. And those doors swung open, and just loads of people come flooding out. Typical Tottenham, yeah. Fucking like bottled it again and all that. Like, and as people were taking like 8 or 9 steps coming out of the pub, it was like this, like someone had hit a pause button on the remote, and all you could hear was VAR, like it's gone to VAR, and everyone just stopped and just craned their neck back into the pub as to say, is this really happening? Yeah. Is this really happening? And then the finger to the ear. And then just waiting. And then it was quite quick. And then he like blew like no goal.
Yeah.
And then obviously everyone just went mental. But I couldn't allow myself to go that mad at that point because
there's still a minute left.
Because there was still a minute left, and I was still absolutely bricking it.
They had another attack.
I think Aguero may have headed it. I can't quite remember. Headed chance at goal, and I was still just like, God, man, like we've got 2 minutes, and like, and you know what it's like, you know, with Fergie time or with this and that, and it being Tottenham, and I was just like, there still could be another like sting in this, like that, you know, Sterling's been amazing these last few games, and it just, all it takes is a second of brilliance, and again it goes back in the net, and it's just like I just can't believe that it was happening, and then when that whistle went. And it was still, after that wish had gone, I was still like...
Yeah, disbelief.
Disbelief.
Yeah.
And then just looking around at people's wild eyes.
Did you see Pep Guardiola's celebration? Like, rightfully so.
Yeah, he went mental. Yeah.
He did go mental. And you saw Potch just crestfallen.
Yeah.
Because I think he believed that Spurs left it all on there, on the pitch.
Yeah.
Guardiola and Man City equally left it all on there. Like, they, like, as much as I've got a problem with Man City in the way that they've got all the successes they had, you can't deny how good they played.
Yeah.
Defensively, there were some issues, because obviously you score three goals, and to score three goals against one of the best teams is a marvellous achievement anyway.
Yeah.
And just how good is Heung-min Son. But just that reversal, the crest. I just want to play you something, Rick. See if this... If you're listening to this, if this is familiar, it should be, because it's one of the greatest things I've ever heard. So this is a news reporter standing outside Main Road, Etihad. just after the final whistle.
Very disappointed with one.
I know you're very disappointed.
Very disappointed with one.
No, it's disallowed.
Was it?
Yeah. Seriously, I just seeing it, it's disallowed.
I can't put it into words, it's just unbelievable.
So this is a Man City.
This is a Man City fan.
Oh shit.
He's left to escape the crowds.
Yeah.
He's thought they've won. They've seen the goal, he's just chipped off. It's like, brilliant. We're into the semi-final. Man City, of course we are. And then the news is broken to him live on TV. And he's completely unaware that they're out. Disappointed, we won!
Do you remember, like, back in the day, when I in Park Lane, and people would be in the gangways and watching the rest of the game on telly.
Yeah.
And the doors would be open and stuff like that. That's what he's done.
Yeah.
He's probably seen it, or he's been waiting in the aisle. Sterling's goal's gone in and he's like that. Rubbed his hands and was like, come on, get the programme.
Yeah.
We're going out. And he's chipped off out there, springing his step.
Yeah.
Hearing the roar of the crowd and all this stuff.
In this video, the stadium is about... It looks like he's half a mile away.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's had... how long does it take half a mile? Maybe 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Right? So he's had 5 minutes of just dreaming of champions that we're going to do the quadruple. Yeah. We're going to do it all. Pep's the greatest ever. We smashed Tottenham. Bring on Ajax. We'll walk over them and we're going to do Liverpool or Barcelona in the final.
And already he's planning his mind when he goes into work the next morning and he looks at all the other United fans and what he's going to say to them, plotting it out. Probably got his phone out and just banging out a few WhatsApp messages as well.
But this is the thing, is if that reporter hadn't intercepted him, he may have gone into work the next day going, hey,
you want some of this?
Hey, come on, the citizens.
Oh, fucking hell, man. That is absolutely amazing.
Of all of the stuff, the kind of memes and stuff you've seen today and the videos, what's your favourite?
I think it's got to be the... there's one where... I don't know who's taken the video footage of when the players come back
in. One of the players.
Yeah, one of the players has. And they filmed the reactions of the players and Poch and everyone else. They come in walking back in and everyone's buzzing and everyone like...
Buzzing? Like, it's flying in there.
It's...
Like, Alvaro comes in first, doesn't he? Yeah. He comes in, come on!
Yeah.
When Poch's bit, when he comes in.
Yeah.
And he just displays, he just grabs like, fucking balls!
Yeah.
How big are our balls?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, if you don't know, if anyone doesn't know what this is one of the youth team players or one of the players is in there waiting for the team to come back. And it keeps all over. Comes back and what's beautiful about that is that they came in and you saw a glimpse of what the players are like and how much it means to them. So he comes in, all the players are coming in. He's filming them all. Poch comes in, he's cheering, smashing the whiteboard, going, come on, boys. And then all the players come in, and then out of nowhere, just start going, oh, Musa Sissoko. Oh, and they're all just dancing, going, Musa Sissoko. Musa Sissoko, meanwhile, has kind of injured at about, I don't know when it was. It was the first half. Wherever it was, he hadn't played... large proportion of the game, and the first song they sing, not like Fernando Lorenzo because he scored, or haven't been sung because he scored too. It was Musa Sissoko. The best bit about it though is at the end, Musa Sissoko just comes in and he slides flip flops. Goes, what is someone calling my name? I love that.
Oh man, yeah, that is quality, absolutely quality, and. There's another one as well. I think it's someone has done like a mixture of the clips of the game, like after the final whistle and all the players celebrating, and it's Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On.
Oh yeah.
And there's a bit with Llorente and Poch, and they're at, in front of the Spurs fans, and they're dancing and celebrating as this Celine Dion, Your Heart Will Go On just fades out. Oh man, it is so fucking good. It just cracks me up, man.
What?
And another one as well that I saw as well, that someone had put Like, you, Man City are funded by a country, spent billions of pounds, got the best manager that they could possibly buy.
Funded into to the guild.
Exactly, and they got bantered by Trippier. Trippier, and who was it? Bantered by Trippier and Llorente, and I was just like, fucking, that is amazing. Can you imagine?
Well, this is it, right? Do you remember the last time there was a story like this where a club of a similar size in Leeds got to the semi-finals?
Yeah.
Would it have been 98?
Oh, five times, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I don't know when it was, but I feel like 98 is about right, but I might be wrong. They got to the semi-final of the Champions League.
Yeah.
I think they ended up going out to Valencia, if I remember right, but it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Leeds, after going to the semi-final of the Champions League, went bankrupt.
Yeah.
They had put everything in to get into a team good enough to get to the semi-final of the Champions League. And it was an incredible story at the time.
Yeah.
Spurs have just got to the semi-final of the Champions League without spending a penny in two transfer windows.
We hadn't spanked our money on Olivier Decor.
Yeah. Seth Johnson. And Eric Bakker.
Ah, shit!
Fucking hell, Rio Ferdinand.
Oh, mate. Fucking hell, man.
Seth Johnson. Jeez.
Christ.
Garbage. Yeah, it was just a wonderful thing. You know, and it shows, I don't want to go on about Sissoko again, but I'm going to for a second. It is because the minute he left the pitch, we were worried.
Yeah.
Everyone around us was like, fuck, what are we going to do?
Because at that time as well, I thought, if we bought, no disrespect to Skip, but a young lad, and just knowing that, the presence of Sissoko, experience and this, that, and bringing on Skip to replace him, I don't think heads would have dropped, but it's just it is what that thing in your mind, like if one of your fucking engines goes out and you're like, and then Skip's coming in, you're like, fuck, man, we've got to deal with this. And then Llorente came on, and I was so, like,
no, at that point, Rick, when we was like, well, it's got to be Skip, and we're going, well, who else is there? Lamella, and they got injured in the warm up. It's got to be Skip. Like, he ain't ready. He weren't ready. He weren't ready. Like, he played against Palace. You can see he's out of his depth. He's like, good. He's a prospect. He's got such a good future ahead of him, but he's not ready. And he's certainly not ready for the Champions League quarter final. So what? Oh, come on, Skip. What the fuck is Llorente doing standing up? I was like, I don't know what's going on. Llorente, I was like, maybe a player seed him. That's what I thought. Maybe Bodge is playing in CDM. Maybe it's going to be like Berbatov of the fucking CDM world.
I remember at this point thinking that I, like, you know, when players have been warming up and stuff like that, and they've been having getting a bit of a jog on and stuff like that, a bit of stretching. I just remember looking at the screen and Llorente just sat up off his seat and just took his top. I was like, he hasn't done any warm up. He's just coming fresh from a sit down,
freezing cold,
and he's fucking going to war.
I like the idea. It's like Sissoko goes down. And Llorente just stands up going, it's me, boss. It's me, you know it's me. I still don't know, because I'm like I said, I'm pretty shit on tactics and understanding. I just watch where the ball moves and hope that when our players get it, that they do something good with it.
Yeah.
That's the limit of how much I apply to tactics when I'm watching. And so when we saw in the first half and it looked like we're getting done on the width.
Yeah.
Playing very narrow. I can see that because it's obvious. But generally, when I'm watching a football match, Sissoko gets the ball, I'm like, don't fuck up. Pass. All right, Son's got the ball. We'll do a bit of running in. Try and find some space. Kane's got the ball. Shoot. That's the way I view it, and I'm fine with that. And I enjoy it. But when Llorente came in, I don't know what happened to the shape. I don't know what they did. Did Dele Alli drop? I don't know. I don't know how he solved the problem. But he kind of did by bringing on Llorente.
It looked like Son had shifted out to the left.
I don't care, really.
I'm pretending that I actually know.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry.
I'll leave that to Windu.
yeah, the extra inch, no doubt. they'll talk all about this, don't they?
It was just like fucking... like when Llorente came on, and it is that shit, man, I know, Llorente, he can score, and he scored some goals for us.
Mate, he has been crucial this season once again.
And at that point as well, because I knew that we had a goal in us, and so for like 4-2, and I knew we had a goal in us. I didn't know it was coming from Llorente, but I knew we had a goal in us, and thankfully it came from him. It was just like again, like going back to that third goal, like, and it was the VAR for that handball,
yeah.
Or did it come off his hip, yeah. And stuff like that.
Yeah.
Again, when that came up, I didn't even really look at the screen because I just knew it's handball.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. When they bring up VAR, they've seen something,
yeah.
So they're going to tell the ref to look at it. So you like every time you see a VAR, you think, well, the decision's going to be reversed.
Yeah, yeah.
We were in the pub, as everyone who was watching it, and the angle you saw, it didn't touch his hand. It hit clearly hit his hip, and we kept every time we saw it, it's his hip. It's clearly hit his hip. And the ref was watching the same thing as we were watching.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ref was like, what? There's nothing here. He just shook his head and went his goal. We saw another angle this morning.
Yeah,
it hit his arm. Yeah. It really did hit his arm.
Yeah, it's there is a. Yeah, I mean, I don't give a shit.
Man. No, I don't give a shit, and I actually like the fact that we won that way.
Yeah.
But what like when VAR goes your way, it's like it's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
When it goes against you, like the Danny Rose one, where we broke down on that pod we did with on Skype pod we did the other day, saying it's fucking shit. Like how's Danny Rose supposed to fall? Like it's a natural position. Like it's bollocks. VAR's ruining the game. VAR was responsible for one of the greatest moments I've ever experienced as a Spurs fan.
I was chatting to my missus about the game earlier, and she's following what happened and at VAR. She's saying that it's become quite a big thing now. Like when you're watching football and you don't know whether it's going to go your way, like how do you feel about it and stuff like that. And I said, and like watching most VAR and what I've said on the pod, because it's gone against us, VAR. Shit, doesn't work. When it does work, it's the best.
Just to kind of draw a line on it, it works. It generally gets everything right. 99% of the time it gets everything right. It's just, if you want to be, I don't, like, even when Son scored his second goal, that screamer.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, they're going to pull that back. And there's nothing there. Like, he was like 6 yards onside. There was no decision there. I thought I'll get pulled back for an off-the-ball incident.
Yeah, they're
going to check everything. Yeah, I mean, you can't deny that it was directly responsible for one of the greatest moments we've had.
Sonny as well, man. Like, that guy. I mean, like, it's running out of things to say about him.
He's got 20 goals a season again this year.
Fucking hell.
Like, do you know how hard it is to find the 20 goal a season striker?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got two of them.
It's just, and
last season or season 4 Dele Alli scored 20 goals.
He just seems to relish as well that now Kane's out and he's the main man and he's got to be this person that drives forward. He's got to be that person that shoots. He's got to be the guy that gets the goal. And he's, you know, he, and some people you can shrink and you could be like, oh fuck, that's too, you know, I'm a support role actor here. Like, I don't want to step up to it, or like, I don't know, even in like business and stuff like that, and like
people shrink
at work,
yeah,
and it's like, oh,
you spotlight's on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Often it's you've got, it takes a big character not to shrink under that.
And he's such a lovely guy, and happy go lucky, and always smiling, really positive. And then to be under that pressure, and then deliver, and then that second goal, like,
oh my god,
fuck,
but even as he shaped up and he had so much room, I knew it was in. As soon as he shaped up, you can't. Like most professional strikers in the Premier League, can hit the net against the keeper when there's no defenders around them.
Yeah,
they'll be able to do that.
Yeah,
you see them in training when they're fucking pinging these,
fizzing
these goals in. When he had that much room and he came to him, right, as soon as he hit it, I was celebrating already. I just knew he was great. There is a question though, because obviously we've got Ajax in the semi final, which is a much better draw than Liverpool got in Barcelona.
Yep.
Got two questions for you. One, would you rather go out to Ajax than face Liverpool in the final?
No,
of course not. And secondly, what fucking team are we going to put out in the first leg? Got no Kane, Son suspended.
Yeah.
Sissoko looks like he probably won't play again this season.
You reckon it's that bad?
It's a groin strain, isn't it?
I don't know.
Is that bad?
I don't know.
I mean, he kept falling down.
Yeah, quite a lot.
And he kept getting up. I didn't understand that. I was like, oh, he's up, he's fine. And then he's down again. He's like, what is going on? Like, is he killing the game? Is that what you're doing?
I don't know.
Like, you know, he's got history for trying to run off serious injuries. Like, he tries to run off a pulled hamstring. I love this team, and I love Pochettino so much. It's nights like last night, when at the start of the season, no one will give us anything. We haven't signed anyone. Are they going to finish in the top four? They can't cope with the Champions League. They've got no ambition.
Yeah.
Tottenham are always going to be that nearly club. Actually, before, we weren't even a nearly club. We were a nothing club. We were a mediocre, mid-table. And do you know what? We were talking about it before, with a couple of lads at the social. And I was like, I almost miss the days of going for Fair Play League. Because there was no jeopardy then.
No.
Like, going through that 90 minutes, like playing Coventry 4 games towards the end of the season and there's nothing, it doesn't matter. It was just a bit of Spurs, wasn't it? She got a Wednesday night, a bit of Spurs, a few beers.
Yeah.
And that was nice. So even now, it's like life and death.
Yeah, the pressure is horrible.
Every time we play. And as we know, and as we've experienced it, it typically doesn't end up well for us.
No. Would you, obviously...
We're going to win it all.
The draw was made, beforehand. So, and then, the night before, obviously, Ajax, an absolutely fantastic result to win in Juve and knock them out. And, you know, a lot of people before wanted Spurs to draw Ajax at some part. And now we've got them in the semi-final. Mm. What do you make of playing this Ajax team?
So, I don't know much about them. I just know a little bit about their star players, like De Ligt and Van der Beek and De Jong, I think he's the one that signed for Barca. And when I say I know about them, I know people rave about them.
Yeah.
I've never seen them play. Fuck knows.
Yeah.
But I feel like... this is how I feel. And this isn't... I'm not, like, bopping it or... Like, I don't know what the word is. But I feel like Juve and Real Madrid didn't take them seriously.
Yeah.
They thought they'd brought them over. And what Ajax have demonstrated to the world is that they need to be taken seriously because they're a good team.
Yeah.
And Spurs will look at them and take them as with the credit and the seriousness that they deserve and demand.
Yeah.
And for that reason, we are going to smash them.
Smash them?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like getting... This is how I feel now, right? This is going to change. The more I find out about Ajax, I might get some of the lads we spoke to about the Ajax podcast.
I was thinking about that, yeah.
We'll have a chat to them and see how they feel about it. But right now, I feel like it's like getting a... This is going to sound really condescending, but I'm just applying it to FA Cup logic.
All right.
You've got a team... That's like Leeds, right? Yeah. Leeds. When Leeds played us, they knocked out United. I think they knocked out Everton.
Yeah.
And then they came to Spurs and we pumped them because they're fucking Leeds. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? I feel like right now that's what this is going to be. It's like they've done a great job, but now it's going to be much more difficult for them because in their head they're going to be thinking, "Oh, we smashed Real Madrid. We just knocked out Juve. Spurs didn't do that last year."
Yeah.
They're going to take us lightly.
They think
they're in the final. It's going to be a test on this friendship, isn't it, because Spurs, I can imagine any English club out in Amsterdam. Like Amsterdam brings out the worst in people.
Yeah.
And it's my favourite city in the world. And I'm worried about it being left in rubble. Yeah. Because when Spurs arrive, it's going to be...
No, I think it's
gonna be tasty, and Ajax fans are no shrinking violets as well. I feel like the friendship will be tested somewhat.
Yeah,
I feel like there might be a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, I mean,
but all I would say is if you're going out there and you're unsure whether you want to get involved in trouble, just go and get some mushrooms first, and then you won't, because what you do is you process the reasons why you want to get in trouble, and then you sort of deal with that internally, and then you'll come out of it the other side again. Well, I don't really want to fight anyone. In fact, if anything, I just want to go and enjoy a nice game of football, look at the pretty lights and hug each other.
I just want to stay in this cafe.
No, I'll just stay here. Yeah. I just watch it on my phone. Warm, yeah. Actually, I won't watch it on my phone because football don't really mean anything. And I'm better at just sort of talking to my fellow man.
I think with Ajax, they are, from what I've read, is, and what the small bits I've seen, they're a young team, hungry, ambitious, exactly like where we were, like a season, two seasons ago. But I think because we have matured that bit and we've got that little bit more experience, I think we will, I think we'll edge it. I think we'll edge it. And again, like we were saying, that Sonny's not going to be there, Kane maybe not, Sissoko, but having the first leg at White Hart Lane, it could set us up to get a couple of goal cushioned. You know, under the lights, new White Hart Lane, you know, Park Lane end, and again, hopefully we can get a really good result there. And then when we go over to Ajax, we'll have Sonny back and maybe Sissoko back and stuff like that. So
I like that. I like the way you end sentences sometimes.
Right.
You just go and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like it's like you've made your point, isn't it? You've got to end it with something, so you just go and stuff like that. So
and then I'll just go etc.
Yeah.
Etc. Etc. Etc.
So I it's really weird. I booked some flights and a hotel to go over to Amsterdam on the 10th of April because, and I'd booked this about 2 months ago.
May.
Because May. Yeah. And I'd booked it to go over and do a film about the relationship between Tottenham and Ajax.
Yeah.
Speak to some of their fans, they show us around, we go to some of their pubs, clubs, they take us out on the night out, right? Nice. Going over there, it's going to be great. We've only fucking drawn them in the semi-final of Champions League on the 8th. In Amsterdam, and I'm due to fly out on the 10th. What are we going to do, Rick?
Well, you just got to just go out on the 8th and then just stay out there
That's exactly what I'm going
to do. God, you're going to be an absolute.
The problem is you've got to pace the mushrooms, right? Because they don't work. After a couple of days, they stop working. So I don't want to do that before the missus arrives. Because I'm doing this quietly because I haven't told my missus I'm going on the 8th when we'd originally planned to both travel out on the 10th. And she's next door in another room. So she doesn't know that I'm going to Amsterdam to watch the mighty Tottenham play. She thinks I'm going out with her on the 10th just to sort of eat mushrooms and walk around and film stuff about Spurs. But what I'm actually doing is going with the boys. Going with the boys on the 8th. And I'm going to do 6 days in Amsterdam. And she also doesn't know I'll probably kill myself. It's going to be the best 6 days of my life. I hope you don't, if you listen to this, Ollie, I'm sorry. All right, that's it, Rick. Thank you.
Pleasure. Mate.
It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm just looking for like the next few days. All of us will be looking for our phones, more and more videos, more and more. It's just like...
There's a great video on the Cheese Room podcast Twitter.
Yeah.
One of the guys who does that podcast was there. And somehow, during final whistle, he managed to keep his cool and stood on a chair and filmed the reaction from the crowd as the final whistle went.
Yeah, it's mental, isn't it?
It's a great video. It's a Cheese Room podcast. All right. Until next week, God bless you all. And come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. Sports Social Podcast Network. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.